New Bedford in the mid-19th century was a special place. Because of the whaling industry supplying the superior fuel sperm whale oil, New Bedford was known as the city that lit the world. With around 15,000 residents, it harbored possibly the greatest concentration of wealth in America. And New Bedford had another distinction. Its racial tolerance made it a safe haven for slaves escaping north to freedom via the Underground Railroad. This was not looked upon favorably down south.
Southern newspapers would have these great articles about how treacherous and crazy the people in New Bedford were.
That's Lee Blake, president of the New Bedford Historical Society.
New Bedford was really known as a place where the white population and the black population came together and protected each other.
I spoke with Blake at the Nathan and Polly Johnson House in New Bedford. The Johnsons were free blacks in the mid-1800s, and their house was a stop on the Underground Railroad. It was here, says Blake, that Frederick Douglass, the famous African-American abolitionist, orator, and writer, first lived after escaping from slavery in Maryland, and it was here that he discovered his life's work.
It's a wonderful time to be at the Johnson House, because it is 2018, and it is actually the 200th anniversary of the birth of Frederick Douglass. Douglass runs away and comes to New Bedford, and because of the environment, the African-American population here, the support from the Quakers and the religious denominations here, Frederick really becomes an abolitionist in New Bedford.
Blake describes the planning and the subterfuge it took for Douglass to get from Maryland to his new home.
He's lucky because at the time, his fiancée, Anna Douglass, was a seamstress. And Anna was able to sew him a sailor suit. And sailors at the time in the 1830s, black sailors were ubiquitous. They were everywhere. So people really didn't question him when he had a ticket to get on a train and come to New York from Maryland. And there he meets on the wharf, he meets David Ruggles, a very well-known African-American Underground Railroad conductor who kind of searched the waterfront, and he helped Douglass come to New Bedford.
Why was New Bedford such a special place in the Underground Railroad?
First of all, because of the influence of the Quakers. Many of them were the captains of whaling ships, or they were the merchants who owned the whaling ships. You know, whaling is not a really clean job. It's not like you're going to be a whaler for the rest of your life. So there's a lot of economic turnover. But the other thing that New Bedford was unique about is that they had a large free African-American population. The African-American population was 6% of New Bedford at the time. The African-American population in Boston was only a little over 1%. And the African-Americans that were here were voting. Our schools were integrated. The schools in Boston, for instance, were segregated. We did not have to go through the same kind of fights in the 1820s and 1830s that other people had to go through in other parts of Massachusetts to desegregate their schools, because ours were.
If I remember, the Fugitive Slave Act was passed, I think, in 1850. Did people come here to grab slaves and take them back?
No. And Nathan said this to Frederick Douglass: no man was ever taken from New Bedford forcibly. That was a quote, and Douglass uses it in his narrative, that he and his wife come to New Bedford, and like some of the other freedom seekers, the question becomes, do they go on to Canada? Where do they go? And Nathan says to them, no person, no enslaved person is ever taken forcibly from New Bedford. And three of their children are born here, so it's not like he's here for a month or anything. He's here for 4 or 5 years.
Frederick Douglass became a national leader of the abolitionist movement, known for his powerful speaking and writing in support of human rights and dignity. His legacy lives on in New Bedford, and Lee Blake and the Historical Society are working to expand that legacy, creating a memorial park on vacant land that's just across the street from the Nathan and Polly Johnson House.
We are on 7th Street and the surrounding areas. There are 19 historic homes of abolitionists on this 3-block area, all in good shape, all with educational markers on them. So why not create a historic district? So the city has decided to do that now. We are working with the city, and our piece of it is creating Abolition Row Park across the street from here.
Ground was broken on Abolition Row Park last spring, and Blake says work will continue this spring. Eventually, she envisions a park with flowering plants, cherry trees, a gazebo, educational kiosks, and a statue of Frederick Douglass. She'd also like to see a plaza where people can speak, carrying on the Douglass tradition of oratory. She sees it as a place for everyone.
We are building a park based on really supporting that whole idea that all the people that live in New Bedford, the African Americans, the Cape Verdeans, the Native Americans, the European Americans, the Portuguese Americans in New Bedford, we all built the city. We all did that.
I've been speaking with Lee Blake, president of the New Bedford Historical Society. I'm Chuck Hinman, Rhode Island Public Radio.